Commission meeting for June 13th, 2023. We have staff from the City of South Jordan here to present this evening to the Commission. We've got five of our commissioners present this evening. Commissioner Gedge is excused. He had a conflict. Our first item of business this evening is a motion to approve our agenda as published on the website. I assume everybody's had an opportunity to review that. Staff, I assume it's accurate. Then I'm ready for a motion.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion to approve the agenda as published.
Thank you, Commissioner Darby. I will second that. All in favor?
Yes.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Our next item of business is to approve our minutes from our May 23rd, 2023 Planning Commission meeting. It is my understanding that Mr. Simonson has a correction to make.
Yeah, on page, Commissioners, on page 12 of the... of the minutes, there's a long paragraph, second to the last, and there's a sentence in there that I think if we took it out would cause it to be more accurate as far as what I was attempting to express. This sentence says, he doesn't usually talk about people.
Any other notes that we need to comment on that, or staff? Okay. Can I get a motion that will address approving our minutes with a call out for that correction?
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion.
Please.
That we approve the minutes as published with the exception of the striking of the language that Mr. Simonson requested.
Okay. We have a motion. Any discussion? All right. I will second Ms. Bevan's motion. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Staff, do you have business for us this evening?
No, we don't have any additional business other than what's on the agenda. So.
Okay, great. Planning Commission, I believe Ms. Bevins has our summary from last week's City Council meeting.
Yes. So the main, really the only thing I think is of interest to the Planning Commission is the rezone that we heard a few weeks ago, the Redwood Road project. It was voted 3-2 by this commission. The City Council tabled that. They had all of the same concerns that we did and have asked the developer to come back after they have addressed those concerns and to make the development a little more palatable to the residents nearby. And that's really the only thing that...
Okay.
Was discussed.
All right, thank you. Commissioners, I think the only item of business I have this evening is just discussing attendance. Is there any meeting coming up, say this next one or the following, where commissioners will be absent?
I am gone the next meeting.
Okay. Anyone else for the last meeting of this month, probably the
28th, I think.
Thank you.
27th,
I think. You're good. You're good down there. Okay. Great. Thank you very much. If that changes, just please let me know so that we can communicate with staff to ensure that we have a quorum. All right. Let's move into our administrative public hearings for this evening then. Our first item, H1, is a conditional use permit for detached accessory building located at 2216 West Bonanza Circle. And Andrew has our staff report this evening.
Thank you, Commissioner. All right, before you tonight is the conditional use permit for a detached accessory garage. We are located at 2216 West Bonanza Circle, just north of the high school for reference. Aside from meeting all code requirements pertaining to accessory building structures, it's here before you tonight to address the proposed footprint being larger than that of the home. For background on that, the existing home footprint is 1,286 square feet. It actually has the second largest footprint in its subdivision and is tied for the third smallest lot. Everyone else, they have larger footprints and larger lots. Part of that is related to their garages are built in and attached, and so it's included within the main floor calculations for a footprint. The subject property, which you can see indicated, their garage is half of what your typical basement would be, so it cuts off what these other properties would use. And so incidentally, the applicant would need a conditional use to do something that his neighbors could do without one. The applicant, it's in the R1.8 zone. We did look at the surrounding properties within its subdivision, being it's the same zone, same subdivision, same era of construction. If you go into the adjacent R2.5 zone, the standards change for accessory structures. The homes are newer and the subdivisions are newer with bigger homes, and would be able to do things different than what the subject property and his surrounding neighbors could do. The applicant is proposing from this site plan, you can kind of see for conceptual appearance, the accessory garage is 1,920 square feet, so it's 24 by 80 being proposed. And it exceeds what he would be required for a setback. It does fall under the 16-foot requirement for the 3-foot minimum. He's proposing 10 to stay out of public utility easements on the property and avoid those conflicts. And along with exceeding the minimum roof pitch for his zone, proposing 312, he's only required to have 112. And the architectural material is one of those prefab agricultural buildings, which is low maintenance, durable material, which is what code requires for such design. The applicant does own a few boats and some trailers that this would shelter. Currently, they are out in the open on his property. The fence that does exist is currently a chain link, which is okay given the age of the property, and this building would help screen and shelter his property a little bit better and assist in screening that from the public as well a little bit better. For reference, if we go back to the location map further down, there is a lot within this subdivision. In the very bottom, it's lot 26. They do have a conditional use permit for the same reason for a detached accessory structure, footprint larger than the home, which was granted back in 2018. Their lot is a little bigger, and the footprint is also a little bigger. But in terms of, in a sense, setting a precedence, we've had looked at this before. There are some structures in this subdivision that were done outside of code, which is what we don't look at in terms of setting that precedence. They weren't done with building permits. And if they had, due to the size of those, we would have recommended denial on those ones for the sheer size of those ones and compared to what the applicant is proposing and what was approved further south on that one lot. With that being said, staff recommends approval of the application.
Commissioners, questions for staff?
I've got a question. In the packet, you mentioned that without a CUP, the applicant would be able to build two 1,286 square foot buildings. If we grant this CUP, would they then additionally be able to build another 1,286 foot building, or would that preclude them from building anymore?
With a CUP, the applicant would just do one building. Okay. Without it, he would do the two separate ones.
Sure.
He does have, in relation to the lot coverage, 4,626.64 square feet remaining, excluding what's being proposed tonight. So with the 1,920, he would still have a little bit of room to work with and still be compliant.
Question got answered, though.
I think so. So I guess what I'm asking is, let's say we approve this tonight and he builds the 1,900 square foot building, or she does, could they then later build a 1,200 square foot building? They could. Okay.
Thanks. So I'm noticing this is on the opposite side of the driveway. Are they putting in a driveway on that side of the yard, on that side of the home? And is it going to have like a second curb cut and access to the front?
No, there are several kind of a rendition of what it looks like from how he wants to orient it. He wants access off of the existing west side of the property and would just come around behind.
Okay, so they would just use the existing driveway to come through the backyard and into it? Okay.
And he would be able to work with engineering and an encroachment permit in the future.
Okay, but that's not included in this, correct?
Not with this proposal.
So the only exception being asked for this evening is the size, the fact that it exceeds the footprint of the main dwelling.
Yes.
Okay. All right. At this time, we're going to open up the floor to public comment. Or actually, is Mr. Fetzer here this evening? No. Okay. Then I will open up the floor to public comment. If you've joined us this evening to speak to this item, we will allow you 3 minutes to approach the podium. We just ask that you please state your name and where you reside for our records. And then you'll have 3 minutes to address the commission and present any evidence that you've brought this evening concerning this item. We will also extend the same privilege to those who have joined us online. We just ask that you enable your audio and visual capabilities in the Zoom meeting. Okay, is there anybody in the auditorium that came to speak on this item this evening? All right. I'm assuming also nobody online. If that's incorrect, please turn on your camera and give me a wave. All right, I'm going to close the public comment on this item and bring it back to the commission. Andrew, I wanted to ask a couple questions about the staff report. You rephrased something in your verbal report that I think you stated in the written report, and I wanted a little bit of clarification. You indicated that there are several buildings that could qualify for something this large in the complex, but then when you told us verbally just now, you've said that it sounds like people have built this large in violation of our ordinances because they did it without coming for a building permit. Is it one or the other or both?
A little bit of both. There are some that did do the without getting permits and approval and review and on older dates. There are some that do range from about 600 to 1,500 square feet, so less that's being proposed, but they could have been built larger by right if the property owners chose to do bigger because their lots are bigger and they have larger footprints.
Okay. Is it typical to cite CCRs when we can't weigh them in our decision since they are private? That's something I'm not used to seeing in a staff report, and I'm wondering why you included it, just for my understanding.
As a disclosure, but we don't enforce.
Okay. And then with a building like this, it just has to be a durable material. Is it, when it's an accessory dwelling unit, that it has to match to some degree?
Correct. The architectural with guest house EDUs.
Okay.
Which is not being proposed with this.
Right. Commissioners, are there any mitigating items or impacts that you feel like, actually, I phrased that wrong, are there any impacts with this size that you feel like need to be mitigated for the neighbors? I assume that all the noticing went out. Greg, is that usually you? Or Andrew, did you do the noticing?
Correct.
Okay. Any concerns? Discussion? Okay. I guess we're ready for a motion.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion. I move that the Commission approve the conditional use permit, file number PLCUP 2023-00088, with no conditions based on the findings and conclusions listed in this report.
All right, we have a motion. Is there any discussion on that motion? The only thing that came to my mind is something that Commissioner Bevan said about the access. I don't think we need to make that a requirement as part of the motion since it's not a part of the application, but I might have some reservations if it were going to include extra driveway and another curb cut.
Jeremy, would they be required to get that permit prior to putting that in? If they were to decide later to, they wanted to do that?
Yeah, they'd need to get an encroachment permit to add a driveway before they add the driveway. Is that what your question is? Yes.
Okay.
It would also be up to the city engineer to approve that.
Yeah.
And if they put it on the east side that's closest to 2200 West, if they did that, there's in our code, there's a standard of how far driveways have to be from streets as well. So I don't know if it would work there either.
So I guess my only hesitation and reservation there is if they were to get that, what that puts their front yard visitation at. I mean, obviously we're not considering that tonight, so I don't know that has any bearing, but.
But that would also, that would take place too. If they proposed a driveway there, planning would be looking at it as well. For if they're only allowed to, they have to have 50% of their front yard with vegetation of some sort and landscaping. It to be landscaped, so they're limited in how much concrete they can pour.
Sorry, that was a lot of discussion on a motion. We do have a motion. Do we have a second?
Just double checking the diagram. Madam Chair, I'll second that motion.
Okay.
Or that motion.
So we have a motion and a second. Ms. Valdez, can we get a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Garvey?
Yes.
Commissioner Catmull?
Yes.
Commissioner Starks?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
And
yes.
Okay, this item passes 5-0. We'll move to our next item. Item H2 is the Sojo Professional Office Building Site Plan application located at 10509 South River Heights Drive, and Miguel has our staff report.
Hi, thank you. So this is a proposed office building located on 10509 South River Heights Drive. So the zoning in this area to the north and south is also office zone. To the west is commercial, community commercial, CC. We have the Costco and the Sportsman's Warehouse there. To the east, we have residential zones. To the southern part, we have the R2.5, and then we have the RM7 to the north part of that area. So the proposed office building is going to be two stories, 31,000 square feet, oriented towards River Heights Drive, with parking proposed on the north and east wrapping around the building, and landscaping serving as a sort of buffer all around the property. And this is a proposed internal layout of the building, but this is, again, up to the applicant. This is the proposed of the first floor, I believe. And this is a rendering of the building facade from what it would look like from River Heights Drive. Looking at it on this side, they're proposing to have brick, so it was black and white brick stone. And on the other side of the parking lot, they're proposing stucco, but of the same coloring. And we did receive public comments for this concerning, for example, the height of the building. So the maximum height allowed in the zone is 6 stories, and this falls within that at 2 stories. We also received concern about the setback of this building being a setback a certain distance from the residential zone. So the minimum setback required is 30 feet. This one would be located approximately 145 feet away from the residential properties. And we also don't know who the tenants will be yet. So we don't know what the impacts of noise and traffic will be to this specific lot. And we also received concern about the property lines, specifically to a property in the R2.5 zone there. But that is not something that we in planning or the commission can do much about. It's mainly up to the property owners. And There were some other concerns that the property owner of the who made the public comment and the developer here can probably sort out, but that is pretty much my report.
Thank you, Miguel. I had a question. Oh, sorry, were you?
So then I was just going to recommend that staff recommends that we approve, that you approve the site plan for the Sojo Professional Office building.
Okay. Could you remind me what the parking requirement is for this kind of an office building? It's not dependent on the tenant type, correct?
No, it was dependent on the square footage, and I forget the exact requirement, but they were required a total of 123 parking spots, I believe, and that falls within that requirement. I forget the exact square footage for the office zone. 100 square foot? 300. So it's one per 300 square feet, so this falls within that.
Does it exceed it, or is it right there at the required?
It's right there.
Okay. Is this the last time we'll see this? Like, this rendering is what will be built? Or is this a concept?
I'm not sure. Probably I'm not sure if the applicant is here, but they can probably answer that.
Actually, if this was proposed and it's if this is approved, this is what they have to build.
Okay, thank you.
And this has gone through architectural review.
Okay, great. All right, commissioners, questions for staff?
Jeremy, can you speak a little bit to the traffic? I know we don't know who the tenant will be or anything like that, but we have generic numbers, and I can't remember what that acronym is. We have generic numbers for this type of business and what it will add. I believe the two, maybe not formal, intersections across the way between this straddles. There's two of them that come out of Costco and that complex of businesses. One, I think I saw in 2022, was level C, and the other was level B. When we add the traffic from the new development on the gym that's going in there and this business, will we stay within the D or above on those?
Yes, we'll stay within the D or above. Right now, I think River Heights Drive, I was looking at it earlier today, and I believe right now it's at a level of service B. And this business, with the square footage that they have, assuming it's general office, it adds about 300 trips a day, or in the peak hour, about 45 vehicles in the peak hour. So what's that? About one car every 90 seconds, roughly. And so we don't really see a big impact with just this business, but that intersection there at River Heights Drive and South Jordan Parkway, it is one that we're watching that we may need to restrict full access in the future. Right now it's not a problem, but it is kind of one that we're keeping an eye on, that we may need to restrict left turns out of some of those accesses possibly in the future.
So like the southmost one that's in that Costco complex of businesses might be a right in.
The south one coming out of Costco would probably be fine because it's set back from the intersection far enough. But it's more the ones as you get closer to that intersection, that's mm-hmm. where it's just very busy. So we're keeping our eyes on it. We haven't noticed any spike in accidents or anything like that, but it is something that we're watching.
What about if that particular intersection continue to make left-hand turns, and they're making a left-hand turn and going into the center lane waiting to merge over, and you've got left-hand or traffic coming from the north trying to make a left into this new office building, is that gonna flow well, or it feels like a place that can easily cause an accident?
It would be preferred if those accesses lined up. And that was something we initially requested, uh-huh. But it wasn't. They weren't able to make that work with their site constraints, and so. But they were able to push that access you can kind of see how they push it as far north as they can to kind of at least have as much gap as they could provide between the exit coming out of that Sportsman's Warehouse and the Costco and, you know, their access. Mm-hmm. And so we were in engineering was satisfied with what they've proposed.
And so is there, this is just my curiosity, could they not have just flipped the building and put the parking lot on one side and the building on the other side? What kind of thing prohibited that?
That would be a good question for the applicant. Okay. That was an initial comment from engineering. Mm-hmm. And then in the end, they pushed the access as far north as possible. And so we were satisfied with the offset because there are a lot of constraints and things that go into these businesses. But that question would be a good one for the applicant.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Can we go back to the map, the overview? No, sorry, keep going. That one. Just so we can kind of see where those access points are. I don't have a question. I just wanted to see the map.
And I just wanted to address a prior question about parking. So they're required to have one per 300 square foot, and so the requirement would be for the size of this building, 102 spots. They have 123 planned.
Okay, any other questions for staff at this time? Is the applicant present? Mr. Olson, is there anything you would like to add to the staff report? Will you come up to the podium just so that our recording catches it?
If you mind going about the site plan. Yeah, good comment about the access. That was brought up by engineering. And if I could see the site plan, where we initially had it was kind of in the middle of the project. And engineering asked if we could flip the building like you proposed or just push it as far north as possible. So we just chose that option to go further north. And on the map that you were asking to see, the overview, there is within like 15 to 20 feet, there's another, that daycare place has a access right there too. So we'll be like right kind of close to them to the north. So that parking aisle that we're seeing right there, or the access in, it's just moved to the north, and then parking's closer to the building. So does that help you out a little bit?
Well, I guess my question is there a building configuration that would have allowed your entry and exit to align with one of the access points across the road?
Like I said, they offered us two solutions, and it didn't seem like there was a preference to flip it. So we're already going on our plans for the building and the footprint and all and civil. So we just chose the option that worked best for us.
Can you tell me a little bit more about how that, what makes it better for you?
So we had already started with civil plans and the construction documents, and the surveying and all that stuff and the soils report. We dug right there where the building is going to be, and I did our test pit there. So it was just, you know, we were down the road far enough, and like I said, when they offered the two solutions, it wasn't like this one is strongly preferred and this one isn't, from my recollection. But so we just chose the one that would work best for us. So it good to work with us. And we just chose the one that worked best for us.
So maybe another question for you is, if this is found to be causes problems, a lot of times, the city staff was talking about, there might be some restrictions placed on one or more of those, like, for example, a right-in, right-out. If that was to come to this property and it was a right-in, right-out only, I'm not saying it is, if it did, would that change your calculus at all?
At this point, no. We're pretty far down the road.
Okay, you'd accept the right-in?
We wouldn't want to accept it, obviously, right? I mean, right. There, like you can see, the daycare just north has an access right there, and there hasn't been, I don't know if there's been any problems there. It doesn't seem like it. And they're seeing a lot more traffic than we would be seeing.
Right. We're adding more construction across the way near Sportsman's Warehouse.
Yeah.
We're adding this building.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally, I live in an area on 40th West where
we've dealt a lot with, yeah.
I have anxiety every time I go over in the center lane. And while I don't see a lot of accidents, it's stressful. Mm-hmm. It reduces the quality of my experience in the city. That's what I would say.
You know, okay. On that, just, and I appreciate your concern there too. Yeah. As a frequent consumer there of some of the businesses, I would be more concerned if the building was further north towards South Jordan Parkway, because that's where the majority of the congestion is. But whereas you're further south from there, you're shielded a lot from some of the congestion building up at the stoplight heading north, if that makes sense. So I actually don't foresee this in accordance with what engineering has already said. And I don't foresee the bottleneck building up this far south on that road.
Can I ask a clarifying question? Maybe just one clarification. Yeah. It's not build up of back from South Jordan Parkway.
It's people fighting.
It's the...
The cross traffic.
It's across the street. There's two entry and exits on one side, one in the middle, and you've got people making left-hand turns coming into... Yeah. And out of various places.
Although hopefully they'll be like me. I refuse to go out on the road. I go out to
Smart
Stick.
Yeah.
Once I'm in there, I go out a different way.
Yeah. And ultimately it's going to be the incidents, the traffic, and that's why I say if it comes to a remediation effort, that's usually that's all, Jeremy, that's all done by staff. You know, that's all city engineer led, right?
As far as access restriction?
Yeah, if you find that there is
enough
accidents or
quality. That's a decision driven by safety data, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so.
Commissioner Darby?
Yeah, I had a clarifying question. So are you saying that rendering isn't quite accurate and that the exit is farther north and the parking is abutting
the
building?
That's what we submitted, and that's what we were planning on. And then we got the comment from engineering, you know, weeks later, hey, you either need to go further to the north or... swap the building out. So we chose further to the north. So do you see that top aisle of parking? Excuse me?
Correct.
So just imagine that keeps going to the street.
Okay.
And then that's where the entrance is. And we do have an updated civil plan. I doubt you have that on available, Miguel, but we do have the civil plan that we submitted that does show that the new entrance that has been approved through these last round of comments. And thanks again for staff working so well with us and being so good to work with.
Thanks.
Staff, do we have that? It looks like it's labeled C200. Do we have that available to put up here so we can look at it, or is it just in our staff packet?
It's just in your staff.
It's just in there.
Staff report. I'd looked.
Okay.
You can probably put it on there, there's an overhead projection. But.
As long as it's in here. I do have one question.
Yeah.
On C100, there's in red, does the project plan to install a 6-foot fence on the south side of the property? Has that question been resolved?
Yeah, that was addressed.
Okay. Yeah. It's just left on there. So what's the answer?
No, it's just yes.
Okay.
I do have, it's just on my phone, but I do have, if you guys want to see this, the civil. Okay.
We've got
it's
it.
In our
okay.
report.
Yeah. All right.
I missed it, so I apologize.
Okay, no, that's fine. That's fine.
So then Commissioner Catmull, it becomes more of an issue of competing with the daycare next door since they're right by each other versus across the way. Yeah. All right, any other questions for the applicant while he's up here? We appreciate you coming
thank
to
you
see
very much.
Participate.
Thank you.
All right, at this time I'm going to open up the floor to public comment. I would like to note that we did receive public comment from the property owner Willis's that are adjacent to this, and that will be a part of our public record. And those are also the concerns that Miguel addressed at the beginning of his staff report. So, like I said, at this time, we will open up the floor to additional public comments. So if you've joined us this evening to speak to this item, we invite you to come to the podium, state your name and where you reside for the record, and then you'll have 3 minutes to present us with your evidence.
Hi. So I am a resident of Harvest Walk, or Harvest Villas, so I'm right there. I am right here. And I'm okay with this.
Will you come all the way to the podium? This is so that our recording catches everything. And will you state your name?
Yeah, it's Kirk Johnson.
Okay, thank you.
And I'm kind of okay with it. Before I bought, I called down to South Jordan and I asked what was planned for that parcel of land. And they were very open and honest in telling me that that building was going to be pushed all the way out to River Heights, which it is, which makes me very happy. And I guess my biggest question is, I'm not really affected if the building is moved to the north or the south. It's there. Lighting in the parking area, it's going to be really difficult for us if it's just open source. It needs to be directional so that it's into the parking lot and doesn't flood our residential area with that. I don't know how much lighting is going to be there, but I suppose that's my only biggest concern, of course, knowing that it was going to happen and well aware that it was going to happen, and now that it is, it's just that's my wife's biggest concern. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. And we will get any questions that are brought up answered after public comment. Please, sir.
James Willis, 3296 West Provo Circle. I submitted some comments. I don't really have a problem with the two-story. And if he moves it north like he was talking a short ways, I don't have a problem with that. I do have a problem with not knowing who the tenants are. If we have something like an emergency ER-type building, they're going to be in and out of there 24 hours a day. That would be an issue. But if it's 9-to-5 offices, I have no problem with that. I do have a dispute. We have a dispute on the property line, and if the fence line stays as the plat site plan is submitted, I have no problem with that. The original plat shows the property line about 2 inches on my side of that fence, and I don't want people coming over. And about 2 months ago, they came over while I wasn't there, and the whole yard is fenced and locked, and someone climbed the fence, and there was a survey marker and a stake in our flower bed. It's about that far from the fence, and we discussed that with the Petersons probably 3-4 years ago when they put the fence up and had no problems. But if we can make that the new boundary, I have no problems with it. And then the only other thing is, the building to the south, when they built that and they start compacting the ground, I've had several of those neighbors closer to that building complain that they've had cracks in the houses and on the cement. And if we can have some kind of a way, a bond or something, that if there's damage created on my property, that it would be easily to be paid for rather than going to court. That's about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Willis. Is there anybody else in our auditorium who joined us this evening to speak to this item? Is there anybody on our online format that has joined us to address the commission on this item? Okay, I'm not seeing anybody, so I'm going to close public comment on this item and get these concerns addressed. Miguel, could you please speak to the lighting concern? What type of requirements are required in a parking lot like this per our ordinances and city code?
Sure. So they did provide a photometric plan. I can find that. But this is also, apologies for my previous error, this is the updated site plan with the correct entrance. And as far as the lighting, when I did look at that plan, it did meet all the lighting standards per the code. It's a very short section, but all lit parking areas are required to be lit, and they have planned light posts in all the parking areas of the site plan.
So will you verbalize what those requirements are, that they're, I assume, directional and will shield them from shining into these adjacent properties?
So I would have to look at the exact language of the code specific to lighting to see the directional. As far as when I looked at this, it met all those brief requirements, but I will take a look at them right now and then
I can probably answer. The requirement is that the lighting has to shine down, cannot shine off-site. It also has to be shielded so there's no glare going, like, looking from your property over at the light. You don't see the light. You might see it going down onto the parking lot. And then what I could see on a site plan is that there are light poles in the parking on the islands that are at the end of each of those parking rows. There's at the ends of those parking rows, those little islands out in the middle of the parking lot, there's a light pole in each of those four areas. I did not see any other lighting in the parking lot. So that's none of it's at the back adjacent to the residence. It's more into the parking lot.
Okay, and just to confirm again, it will be built per this plan that we've been presented this evening.
Right. This is what they submitted, and again, this is what you approve. There's always a possibility that they want to make changes, but then they'll have to go through staff at least to, you know, get a minor site plan amendment if they need to move a pole. And we've had recently EOS did the same thing. I approved them. They moved some lighting poles out of their landscaped area into the parking lot rather than so that way they could plant more, have more greenery in their landscape spot. So those kind of things do happen. They didn't increase the number, they just moved them, but they still had to go through city staff to get that approved. Okay. And it is a requirement. I haven't seen what the actual lights actually, I don't know if they're staff, but the actual lights, what they look like, what they're shielded, how they're shielded, but it appears that on the site plan, it kind of appeared that they were, that there was a top to them and they were going down.
Okay. McGill, another question. What is allowed in this zone without a conditional use permit? So what could go in without coming before the commission and requiring a public hearing again?
In terms of permitted uses?
Yes. Could you give us a general idea of what is allowed in this zone without special permission?
So this professional office, medical, dental offices or clinics of that sort, personal services, professional services.
Is all
a hospital
medical,
would be, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Would all medical, there was a concern that potentially like an InstaCare or a urgent care with extended
that
office hours.
That appears to be
hours.
Conditional.
That would be conditional? Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you comment on what type of operating hours are automatically allowed and what would require, again, coming forward for a conditional use permit?
Operating hours?
Is there any standard for this zone?
I believe it's just the city ordinance, but I will double check for you.
Generally, we don't have any
restrictions.
Restrictions. The only restrictions we have are hours of operation for certain, and they're specific in the code about like garbage pickup, construction and things like that. They're restricted to the hours between 7 a.m. and 10 p.m. and otherwise they can't work through the night unless they get a special permit that would authorize them. But just all of the uses like, you know, convenience stores and like that, there's nothing in the code that says that they're limited to any specific office hours.
Would a convenience store be allowed in this zone?
Not in this zone, I don't believe. They must have the code opened over there, but I don't believe a convenience store would be allowed in the office zone. It would be in a commercial zone.
As far as the property line dispute, Mr. Simonson, this might be a question for you. What is our role in that?
None.
Okay. Additionally, what recourse or path would a citizen need to follow to address property damage as a result of construction adjacent to their property? Is that something, Jeremy, the city monitors at all? Okay.
No, we don't monitor that kind of property damage from a you know, private construction.
Okay. Commissioners, did I go over what was brought up during public comment?
I feel like you covered everything.
Okay. Additional questions or discussions on this item, please?
Oh, never mind. No, you did. Thank you.
Okay. Then we're ready for a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Please.
I move that the Planning Commission approve the site plan application file number PLSPR2023-00018 to allow for construction of a two-story office building in the PO zone at 10509 South River Heights Drive.
All right, we have a motion. Do we need any clarification since our staff report had an old rendering of the site plan, just to make sure that we're referencing this, what would we call this?
This is the correct one. I think that the detailed one was also in there.
Right. Well, just making a reference to that particular. Would you be?
I can amend it,
please.
What is this one called again? C200, right? Okay, so I would like to amend my motion to reference the corrected site plan in the staff report as listed as page C200.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there any further discussion? Okay, I will second that motion. Ms. Valdez, may we get a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Starks?
Yes.
Commissioner Kentmel?
Aye.
And Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
Okay, this item passes 5-0. I would like to thank both the applicant and citizens who came this evening to comment on this item. We always appreciate having that input so that we can hopefully address concerns and help facilitate that communication on developments like this. So thank you for that participation. All right, our third item of business this evening, H3, is the Plaza on 114th, 4th Amended Subdivision Amendment. Demir has our staff report.
Thank you. So this is the property. It's located to just to the north of the Rocket Car Wash and to the north of Jiffy Lube and just immediately to the south of the town storage building. The property itself is about an acre. The zoning map shows it to be zoned mixed-use south center. And then this is the proposed subdivision plat. As you can see, it's pretty simple. They're just creating one additional lot in the subdivision. Both of these newly proposed lots would be about a half acre each. And with this subdivision amendment, one of these lots has a building that's under construction. It's an office building, and then the other to-be lot is vacant, and the idea is, I'm sure, to put another office building on this new lot. Density, lot size, frontage requirements are being met, and hence staff recommends approval of the subdivision amendment.
Okay, thank you, Demir. Commissioners, questions for staff? I assume there will be a shared parking agreement, or will each?
Oh, no. Each lot has enough parking to satisfy parking requirements.
Okay. All right. Is the applicant, Mr. Jenkins, present this evening? Do you have anything you would like to add to the staff report?
No.
Okay. Then we'll do public comment, and we'll call you up if we've got any questions for you. So at this time, we open up this item to public comment. If you've joined us this evening to speak to this item, we invite you to come forward at this time. I'm not seeing anybody in the auditorium. Anybody online, Mr. Jarman or Ms. Bound? Okay. We'll close public comment and bring it back to the commission. Commissioners, any discussions or concerns on this item or questions for the applicant since he joined us this evening.
I just have one question. It's not for the applicant, though. I just want to make sure I'm looking at this right. The lot that's currently being built on is this front one. It looks like it's labeled 401. Is that right? And then the one we're creating and nothing is on is 402. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Mr. Jenkins, since you came all the way out this evening, I'm going to ask you a question, if you don't mind. And it's just this. I'm just curious if you know what will be going in into these properties, if you've got tenants lined up.
Yeah, certainly. My name is David Jenkins, applicant with Ensign Engineering, representing the property owner, which is Jesse Radden. So originally, there's two office buildings. They're identical. And we already have received a site plan approval through the city to build that, but they were just being done in phases. So the first building is phase one. It's almost complete. And the second phase will be this additional building, but it'll be identical.
Okay.
And also to address the issue about parking, we did you see the lines jog so that the equal amount of parking per building, but there's also in the CCNRs with the whole subdivision, there is a cross-access and parking easements okay. for that.
And any ideas who the tenants will be?
I have no idea.
Okay. That's all I had, commissioners. Okay, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. So that when we do have questions, we've got the source here. All right, commissioners, any discussion? If not, I'm ready for a motion.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion.
Please.
I move that the Planning Commission approve the plaza on 114th. Fourth amended subdivision plat, file number PLA 2023-00081.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Darby. We have a motion. Do we have discussion on that motion? All right, I will second that motion. Ms. Valdez? Commissioner Darby?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Starks?
Yes.
Commissioner Catmull?
Aye.
And Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
Okay. That item passes 5-0. Mr. Jenkins, we thank you for your time this evening and coming to participate. All right. Our fourth item of business is the Sagewood subdivision amending and extending lots 6 and 11 of the Bison Run subdivision phase 1 subdivision amendment. And Demir has our staff report.
Yes, thank you. So the next two items on the agenda are pretty much the same project. This is a subdivision amendment, and then the next item is going to be a site plan review. The proposed subdivision amendment, as you can see, is located at the south southeast corner of 32nd West and South Jordan Parkway. The property itself is about 3 acres. It is zoned PO, Professional Office, PD, Plan Development. And then here is the proposed subdivision plat. So basically the subdivision plat is going to consolidate a few parcels and two lots from the Bison Run subdivision into one property. So instead of having different properties with different tax ID numbers, it's all going to become one property where this use is going to be located at the event center that's coming up. It meets the development agreement terms and obligations, meets the zoning obligations, and hence we recommend approval.
So, Demir, does this parcel become approximately 3 acres with the addition of lots 6 and 11?
Yes.
Okay. Questions for staff? I have a question, just for my memory. Did these two lots exist? Or were these two lots part of this originally and then had a proposal come before us to remove them? And so now we're reversing something.
Remind me, which two lots?
The two that are being considered tonight. I feel like we've adjusted these lines several times.
Don't think so. Do you remember?
Are you talking about the two lots that are being amended and extended?
Mm-hmm.
No, I think they were on the original Bison Run subdivision. Okay. They were.
I don't think
they were. Those haven't changed, as far as I know. Okay. The lots, the original Bison Run also included lots that were north of this of what's left of Bison Run, and that changed. But now they're adding these two as well, so.
All right. Questions for staff? Okay. All right, is the applicant, Ms. Visor, here this evening? Are you she?
No.
Oh, all right. Are you representing her?
Yes.
Do you have something you would like to add to the staff report?
No.
Okay. All right, we will open this up to public comment then at this time. I believe the public comment that we've received actually pertains to our next item, so I'm not going to address those at this time. We are specifically speaking to this item, which is redrawing these lot lines and moving lots 6 and 11 into this bigger development, just so that we can keep our business clear. So at this time, if you've come to speak to this particular item, we invite you to come to the podium. Again, we ask that you state your name and where you reside for our records. Is there anyone here this evening that would like to speak to this item? Okay. Anybody online? All right. Since I'm not seeing anyone, I will close this item, close public comment, and bring it back to the commission. Commissioners, discussion on this item?
Just clerical.
Okay. Concerns? Okay. All right. Then I think I am ready for motion. Do we have a motion this evening?
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion.
Thank you.
I move that the Planning Commission approve the Sagewood subdivision file number PLPLA 2023-00006.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there any discussion? All right, I will second that motion. Ms. Valdez?
Commissioner Darby?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollist?
Yes.
Commissioner Starks?
Yes.
Commissioner Catmull?
Aye.
And Commissioner Bennett?
Yes.
Okay, this item passes 5-0. And now we will move to item 5 this evening, which is our last under our administrative public hearings. And that is the Sagewood Barn site plan. Demir, you have our staff report.
Yes, thank you. It is the same property that we just discussed, 3 acres. This is the proposed site layout. As you can see, the barn is located to the kind of the north end of the property. You have parking lot to the south and a little bit to the east and west of it. Most of the amenities are located to the north and to the east of the barn itself or the event center. This is the proposed landscaping plan. As you can see, most of the landscaping, the trees, the most intense vegetation is located at the east end of the project along Alexander. And that's something that was mentioned at the meetings before at City Council, and those trees have been planted in this location. That was one of the concerns that we received, was that not enough trees was being planted in this location. This plan shows that trees are being planted and their concerns are being taken into account. Another concern that came up was the possibility maybe of punching those parking rows or maybe a driveway out to South Jordan Parkway or Alexander. That's not being proposed and probably would not even happen because UDOT controls South Jordan Parkway and they wouldn't want to have any access that close to any of the streets nearby. This is the proposed architecture. It's similar to what they, or pretty much the same to what they proposed originally. And as far as the presentation, this is all I have, but I'm trying to think what other concerns they had. So I covered the landscaping. Oh, the fence. It is set back 10 feet from the sidewalk on Alexander. So there's going to be a curb-adjacent sidewalk, then you're going to have landscaping and then an 8-foot wall on that side of the property. So, yeah, that's going to happen. I think one of the concerns was that the wall was being placed next to the sidewalk, but that's not the case.
Demir, so, I just didn't hear. Did you say an 8-foot wall?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Could you go back to the previous rendering? Yes, thank you. So one of the concerns was that there would be trees on both sides of that wall, both inside and outside. And the development agreement does confirm that there will be trees on the outside on the road. I'm not seeing that on this drawing, though.
So this drawing is the one that went out, and probably that's where the concerns came from. This drawing is not supposed to show any landscaping. This is just supposed to be the site layout itself. Okay. It's not a landscape plan. But if you go back to the landscape plan, it shows what it's actually proposed to be planted.
Okay, and to confirm, because it is in the development agreement, it has to be met.
Yes.
Okay. Could you please talk to me about the gravel driveway? I think that has people concerned that that could be a car access.
Yeah, it's not a road. It doesn't go anywhere. I've talked to the applicant before, and I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, this is just for them to access their storage, a shed, or whatever they have on site for maintenance. But it's not meant to be driven on, or it doesn't go anywhere. It's just for their maintenance, basically. Access to their maintenance items.
Okay. Could you go back to the pictures of the barn concept? I'm having a hard time understanding what's being added. Sometimes it's marked concrete patio, but this looks like an addition, an inside addition instead of a patio. Can you help me understand what exactly is going to be on this property?
I wish I had a floor plan that I can show you, but... Yeah, the addition.
Stand up there and explain it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so you'll need to come to the podium just so we can have it recorded.
Let me just point out real quick now.
All right. We don't use this feature very often. It's exciting.
Right.
I get excited at least.
All right, good to go. Okay, so this right here is the existing barn right now.
Will you state your name?
Yeah, Craig Bonham, High Country Homes, partners on the development. So this what I've circled here is the existing barn. What we're doing is we're basically adding these little areas right here. We're taking off the back part of the barn and adding this big area right in here. This is a little bit of a covered patio that only comes out about 10 feet right here. This is obviously added as well on the side here. So everything, there's a lot of additions to this, but the main area where you're going to walk in is going to be right through this. This is the entrance right here to get into the place, and that's kind of the old antique-y part that we're trying to take advantage of and make the focal point of our barn. So,
okay, thank you.
Is that good for?
Will we have him up here? Questions?
I have lots of questions, but they might require Matt as well. Just for you though, if I remember right, can you clarify the reason you guys are taking off the backside of that barn and rebuilding it? If I remember right, there was something to do with the architecture and the height of it that made it so you had to do that. Is that right?
So the one that's there right now is probably about this big, and it's really small. What we have basically, if you go up the upstairs, we have an overlook that looks into this big area, this area right here. I'm making a big mess of this, but basically we have a stairs that comes down with a balcony for when the brides and grooms come down, they'll be able to overlook into that area. So we're making it bigger and we're making it taller so that they can walk down that stairs. If we didn't, we wouldn't have the head height to get down there. And that, and what's there is not, it's not structural. So to the point where we could do anything with it. So.
I have other questions, but is staff report done?
Yes.
Okay. Do we want to get Matt up here as well?
Yeah, sure. Matt, you want to grab me?
Okay, first, while he's coming up, I do have a question for staff. In the staff report, it talked about no public improvements are being done, but if I remember it originally, there was supposed to be a right turn lane on 3200 West at some point. Is that just being nixed, or is there plans in the future to develop that as well?
That's going to happen in the future. So the corner property, which is not being included as part of the project, and sometime in the future, it's going to become part of the event center property somehow. And then once that property develops is when the right turn lane is going to go in.
Okay, so that'll be widened from the property that's currently the Jones home.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. And then on this site plan, I know it's a little difficult to read, so I don't know if Matt or Craig, if one of you want to just kind of show us on here where the actual fence is, because I think it's a little confusing where it looks like the property line is the fence.
Are you talking about on the east side?
Back, yeah, right, yeah. On Alexander.
So there's, there's 10 total feet. There's two boundaries. There's the property boundary and then where the fence is.
Okay. Can you show us on the map? Which is kind of confusing. Can you just circle that so that we can all see it?
Oh, can you zoom in on this thing?
Where the actual fence is? Because I know we can see the sidewalk and then we can see the property line, which is the black
line. You see the
and then the red X dotted line. And that's the fence line, correct?
Yeah, there's that dotted line with the X's is the fence line.
Okay.
Yeah, and the color version, I don't know if you have that.
I do.
Okay, red is the property line. Black is the fence line. So you'll see the fence is 5 feet to the west
of
the property line, okay. Which leaves 10 feet barrier from the fence to the sidewalk.
Okay. And then can we go back to the landscaping plan? Okay. So on this one as well, I just want you to kind of, on the actual map here, point out where the fence is so that anyone in here can see.
Should be black.
What vegetation is in front of the fence line and what's behind the fence line,
right there.
East and west of it. Okay. And then the white portion of that is the sidewalk, correct?
Correct. Yeah,
that's 6 feet. The sidewalk's 6 feet. And then we've got 10 feet of landscape.
Okay. So we're 16 feet from the curb and gutter line.
That's
correct.
Okay. And then you answered that question. And then the pavilion that we see on some of the plans but not on others, mm-hmm. Is that going to be constructed immediately or is that coming at a later date and what does that plan look like?
I think we're coming at a later date with that.
Okay.
We're going to run out of money.
And will that match the aesthetic of the barn or is there a different plan for it?
It'll match the aesthetic of the barn.
Okay. And then I also noticed in the staff report, and it's in the development agreement that there can be animals housed on the property, and I noticed there is a corral. Are there currently animals on the property, and what are the plans? Like, do we know what animals will be housed permanently, or is it just kind of a come and go?
Yeah, no, there are buffalo on the property still, but those will be leaving. This, just even to go a little bit further, this area that's back here where that circle is, where the gravel goes down to, Megan she wants to put like a little kids play place back in there that'll be more for I don't even know exactly what it's going to be for.
Well, but her father, who's been there forever, has accumulated some interesting antiques, and he would love to have an area where kids could learn about agriculture, the West, kind of how things were, and kind of a heritage to what South Jordan used to be. So that kid corner area would kind of accommodate a few things for kids to play and look at there.
And to answer your question, Laurel, that's probably where the animals will be if we have animals. And we're pretty restricted on what kind of animals we can have. We can have like half of a horse back there and that's it. So, okay. So it'll probably be some type of, we've thought of fallow deer or something, you know, maybe have two or three of those back in that area. So.
Okay, so will that be rotating or is that kind of a permanent fixture?
I don't anticipate anything rotating or bringing different animals or changing that up. I think our idea is to put something that's like the fallow deer ideas because they're really clean. This is going to be one of the nicest reception areas, I think, in the valley, and so we don't want to have anything that would take away from how nice it is.
Okay.
Can I ask a clarifying question on the animals?
Absolutely.
And it might be for staff, but do I understand correctly from the development agreement that they are limited to 90 points as calculated by city code and that no medium or large animals listed in city code can be kept on the property?
Yes, they cannot have any medium or large animals.
Which are, can you give me an example?
Like a large animal would be cattle, a cow,
okay.
Horse, Medium would be like a donkey.
Yeah, there's the point system is interesting.
Okay. I'm just verifying I'm understanding the development agreement correctly. Okay, please.
Okay, just a couple more. I don't know that it was in the packet you presented, but in staff packet there was a listing of the different hardscapes on the property, and it listed DG material. Am I correct in assuming that's the decomposed granite that's going back there for that?
Yes.
Okay. And I know Demir mentioned it, but can you just confirm what that, for lack of a better term, road and roundabout are for?
Yeah. So it's a lot of it is for the antiques and the play area that we might have back there and then also we're going to probably have some storage back there for tables and chairs and things like that. It's not something that we plan on using for parking or for driving back there or anything like that. It'll just be more of a to walk back and get to that area, or to drive our tractor pulling trailers or whatever back to this area.
Okay, and the storage on that property is the existing garage that's currently fenced in on the Jones property, right?
Correct.
Okay. That's all I have for right now.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, and I did want to say that we do have, if you look at that landscaping, we do have a lot of trees on the outside as well. They're big trees. We have like 162 deciduous and 47 evergreens. So there's quite a few throughout the whole property. So.
I have one more question. Sorry.
All right.
You brought it up.
Yeah.
Trees. And this is purely personal. Nothing to do with anything. Looking, I'm not very good with all of the scientific names of trees. Do you have any of the flowering pear trees? Those smell disgusting.
We do have a lot of like the crimson king maple. Unlike you, I'm not really good at the names of all these. I've looked up a bunch of them. Last night I was looking up a bunch of them. I didn't see any flowering pear, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are just not nice smelling, and I would prefer they not exist.
So yeah.
Just wondering.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
They do smell bad. They do smell bad.
Do we need that on the public record?
Both
Mr. Starks and Ms. Bevins would like it noted.
I think we discussed it when we talked about park strips, too, but... If anyone was wondering, I don't like it.
All right. Okay, we are going to open up the floor to public comment. I would like to note, though, that the commission has received comments in email form from Mr. Zundel, Mr. Benson, and Ms. Eliason, which will be in our public record. Those have been forwarded to Ms. Valdez and will be included in the minutes. So at this time, we would invite anybody who's joined us this evening that would like to speak on this item or present evidence to come to the podium.
Hi, I'm Clint Zundel. I'm at 10453 South Alexander Park Lane. I'm one of them that emailed some comments. Two comments. I agree with the tree comment that you made. I would not recommend doing a half horse in the property also. But my only question is, on the end of the kind of west to east parking down there, it looks like in this picture that there isn't an entrance from Alexander Park Lane, but in other of the things that we received, it looked like there's a possible entrance there for maybe bringing tractors or something. Can you just confirm?
There's not.
Okay. No. My concern is that in the future, if something changed, there could be access, because I'm right across the street from that, and so I would just be concerned with that.
We will confirm that with staff.
Okay. Thank you.
After the public comment. All right, is there? Oh, please.
Hi, again. My name is Bella Ellison, and I also live across the street from the property on 10471 Alexander Park Lane. And I really just want some clarification about the landscaping on Alexander. From my understanding, and I want to make sure I'm correct, there's a sidewalk and then 10 feet of landscape buffer area. Is that correct? Okay, so the whole floor. Okay. And then another question I have is about just going through the agreement, the right turn on 3200 towards 106. From my understanding, that was a condition for this event center to function, just in order to avoid traffic from 3200 carrying through our neighborhood on our streets to 106, kind of trying to avoid the congestion there on 3200 at the entrance. So that's one of my things. And then if we're making suggestions for trees, I noticed there's some juniper trees in there, and I'm very allergic to juniper trees. So if we could switch this for something else, that would be great.
Where were they?
So I need to please ask that there's not conversation in the auditorium, because it does not get picked up by our, okay, our microphone, and then it violates our public records.
So my question, my main question right now is, how are we going to avoid the traffic on our street if we don't have that right turn lane on 3200?
Thank you, Ms. Ellison.
Hi, I'm Lori Benson. I'm 10531 Alexander Park. And actually, if we would have seen this, we wouldn't have had any complaints as far as the landscaping goes. This is absolutely beautiful. And seeing the barn, gorgeous. So my one question is the no parking signs. Are they going all the way down Alexander, just at the front? I know, like, at the high school, it says, like, no high school parking along Temple Drive, that sort of thing. Is that what we'll see on our street? Because that's just my biggest concern is the parking. So thank you.
Doraline Rich. I live across the street on Harvest Run Drive. I'm holding in my hand the notice that I got dated March 11th, 2022, when I came to those meetings. I very distinctly remember saying that the condition for this whole project was that the right-hand turn was put in before the project could be started. What changed from the City Council's decision at that point in time to this time? Because we are very concerned about the traffic in the Harvest Villas having to come out of ours. And we can't get out. You say go out the west side. We can't go the west side and go west. They all come, the west side comes through to the east side to go out the east gate. And you don't have very much room from Harvest Run to that very busy, very accident prone, very hospital, very fire engine, very ambulance intersection. Because I hear them all night long because I sit right on 3200 West. So, and the map on the back of here only has 10 plots, so I don't understand what they're changing on the new plots. So I'm really confused that the information that a year ago we went through this doesn't seem to be holding true. So I raised the question before when I was here, why can a developer keep changing, wasting your time, our concerns, and everything with the development? When it's set in stone, is it ever set in stone? Those are my concerns.
Thank you, Ms. Rich.
Good evening, Josh Trainer. I also live on Alexander Park Lane. I have to be careful because my wife's at girls' camp with Matt's wife right now. So I agree with what my neighbors have said. The landscaping plan looks beautiful. I think things look great. My question is on the sound. Sound came up a lot before the commission and also city council. You know, I noticed this nice concrete pad on the east side there. From what I understand, the music and everything will be limited to inside the barn and not outside the barn, but just wanted some clarification on sound as well. Thank you.
Is there anybody else in the auditorium that would like to speak to the commission on this item? Okay, is there anybody online? We just ask that you turn on your camera and give us a wave if you would like to address the commission. Okay, I'm not seeing anybody. Last chance in the auditorium. If you have not addressed the commission yet and you'd still like to, this is your opportunity. All right, I'm going to close public comment. and bring it back to answer some of these questions. I don't know, Demir, if this is you or Jeremy. Can you confirm there will only be one entrance on 32nd? There's no other planned. I see it in the development agreement, but...
Yes, there's only one access off 32nd West.
Okay. So in what you included in our staff report, that's item F1, all traffic shall enter and exit the project from 3200 West. Okay. There was a request for clarification on the sidewalk and buffer. So again, will you tell us the distances from the sidewalk to the fence?
Yeah, so it's a curb adjacent sidewalk. The sidewalk itself is 6 feet. Behind the sidewalk, you have a 10-foot landscape buffer, and then you have an 8-foot wall.
Okay.
And Demir, that wall is, like, consistent. There's no gate or anything in that wall. Is that correct?
There's no gate, no.
Okay. And that matches what I see in the agreement. All right. I would like to talk about the right-hand turn. Several people had concerns, and in reading the development agreement, item F5 would seem to indicate that that was a part of the development agreement, that they should construct a right-turn pocket to city standards on the east side of 3200 West at the intersection with South Jordan Parkway.
Yeah, so it was part... supposed to be done with the Sagewood project. The Sagewood project, obviously, now that we have this leftover property, is going to come in two phases. And the city allowed for that right turn pocket to be done, finished with phase two, or the last phase of the Sagewood project.
So
it's a matter of timing.
Okay, so I don't
the
know.
The right hand, it is going to be done, but it's going to be done with the later phase.
When they get that corner property?
Yes.
Is it guaranteed that that corner property has
it
to be used for that purpose?
It is a requirement, so yeah, it is
okay.
Going to happen. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe just a clarifying on that. So that corner property that we're talking about was included in the rezone, is that correct?
No.
Or
no.
It was not?
Was not part of the rezone.
So how will that be guaranteed to be done if today it's not...
I have a question.
It is in the family's name, right? We've talked to the applicant. They've assured us this is going to be part of the project in the future once the parents pass or move. And at that time, we would ensure that the pocket is put in.
Mr. Simonson, how binding is that? What if they decide to sell the property as a residence and not do a phase two development?
Then they would be in breach of contract, and they would be liable for damages, and they would the city could bring an action for specific performance, demanding that be done before further permits are given, or it just depends on the timing, but it is a contractual requirement with the development, and I don't know what else I can say.
Okay, thank you. Do you have a question related to this?
Do we, as the Planning Commission, have the ability to require that earlier as a condition of approving this application?
I think you do. I mean, if you think that it's appropriate, but I'm not sure. Maybe it's...
So my question for Mr. Simonson, are we allowed to consider testimony from past hearings on this particular development as pertaining to this right turn lane before making a decision tonight?
So... I was just talking to Jeremy. So one way to assure that it's going to happen is we can make a bond for improvements. And if we have the bond in place, that's a good assurance that it's going to be done.
So I guess my concern isn't that it's going to get done. I mean, it's part of the development agreement. I know they are going to do it. My concern is the timing of it. I know that was a big concern with a lot of the people in Harvest Villas and the neighbors and living very close to this location. It does get backed up. So I know that was one of the major concerns the first probably three times we saw this and the conversation we had. So that's where my question comes in, because I know it was only mentioned once or twice tonight, but we've heard a lot about this previously.
As far as evidence goes, I mean, a million and one things could have been said before. I guess it depends on who said it and when they said it. But as far as development requirements, they've been reduced in writing to writing. And that's what we have, is we have a development agreement. It's in the development agreement. It doesn't say it'd be done by a certain date. So I don't, there's nothing else I can tell you.
We can come back.
Maybe one more thing to consider is the impact it may have on to that property. If we were to make street improvements, widen the street, that's going to push the street close to the house where people still reside in. And it would be very, very close to the house if that right turn lane goes in.
Okay, so Jeremy, and then we can table and come back to this. Is this street currently wide enough that it could accommodate a right turn lane at the width it is now and later require them to widen and create the full turn lane?
No, right now it would need to be a combined through and a right lane.
Okay.
As it's configured now, I'm just looking at the aerial, and it doesn't look like there's enough space there to try to paint in another lane.
Sorry, back to you.
Carrying on to that, as Damir mentioned, though, the home is set back about 30 feet from the back of sidewalk, and so you add a turn lane, and that's about 12 feet, and so it does put that home really close. Yeah, it puts it really close to the home. You know, it would be very impactful.
Real quick, can I bring the applicant back up? Do you mind, Madam Chair? Can the applicant come back up real quick? Either one. What is the timeline on the build of this? When do you anticipate this reception center opening?
I'm not committing to any brides right now.
Of course. Non-binding. But do you have any idea of when?
Yeah, we're actually hoping next fall.
Okay, so about a year and a half from, well, a little less than a year and a half from now.
Yeah.
Okay, and maybe this question is more for you, Matt. Is there any idea of Matt, not Amy and Otto, moving, or is there any talk of that, or is it just kind of when it happens?
Yeah, thanks. No, there's no discussion whatsoever on them moving. They've been there for a long time, and they're not moving. And appreciate Jeremy bringing up the impact to them. That was the consideration for the timing of the right turn pocket. If you know where their driveway was adjusted based on the width of the streets, it would be insane to put that right turn pocket in and then force them to drive in and out of that driveway there. I don't know if it's possible. So that was why there was some ambiguity on the timing.
We've actually met on site several times with the city and looked at it, and it really throws a wrench into their livelihood of aunts and in-laws.
Yeah, because you have to consider the intersection with the street lights there that have to get relocated in that process. It's not just putting a right turn lane. It's a pretty significant project. But we have agreed that we're going to do that in writing. It's binding to us and the project, so it'll get done.
Can we bring up the map again? I don't know if it's an aerial or if this, not this one, where it's like the zoning one. Yep, that one. Okay.
while I'm here, the site plan shows the Bensons asked about no parking signs, and it looks like we're required to put four of them on along the wall there on Alexander in some fashion.
And is that, maybe this is for staff or for you, do those no parking signs say no parking or no event parking? Because I don't want to hinder the residents from parking on the other side of the road. Can we require that they say no event center parking?
I think the signs say no parking, but if we want to have those signs modified, I guess we can switch that to no event
parking. So like no event parking on Alexander.
I need to chime in as the engineer on this. We discourage that kind of signage because it's not enforceable by us. The police don't know if it's event center parking or if it's a resident that's parking there. And so we try to be very clear with the signage on no parking between X time and X time, but, you know, something that the police can actually enforce. Otherwise we get complaints from the residents that people are parking there, but the police can take no action against it. So
if it says no event parking, that's not enforceable if there's an event happening at the center?
Yeah, because residents could be parking there and you wouldn't know if they're part of the event or not part of the event.
Okay, so if we put no parking signs, it basically hinders the entire street, correct? So no one
on that west side, yes, on that side of the road and across that frontage, you know, across that frontage where the reception center is.
Another item was the sound, and Josh is correct. The development agreement specifically addresses amplified music outside, and it's not allowed, so.
And something, I don't know if you've seen that, but parking, we need to have 81 parking spots inside of our thing. We have 119, so we've been pretty aggressive at adding more parking. We even did. With all these islands we've put in, it took out a bunch, and that's why we've added a couple more solid rows of parking, just so we can eliminate people parking off-site.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, Commissioner Bevins, can I just add to that no parking sign? I was just thinking
Absolutely.
About that. So one, I mean, I don't know if the residents would be interested in this, but another option is, I mean, we deal with parking issues all throughout the city. Another option is just to remove that requirement from the applicant and then monitor the situation. And if they do find that there is a lot of event parking happening on that street, then the city could add those signs later, you know, down the road. That way we're not putting the restriction on the street right out of the gate. We can wait and see if it actually becomes a problem. There is a lot of fencing at this site that I think really would discourage parking on that road, but I'm not saying there wouldn't be. I'm just saying that's an option.
Okay. So could we request that in our motion that the applicant have a conversation with the neighbors and make that determination?
Well, I don't know if if I could ask Greg. I think we've agreed to that in the development agreement.
That's what I was going to say. I'm not sure we have the authority to change it.
I mean, we talked exhaustively about that. And of course, like that was from input. And if I'm happy to look at what we can do to unwind that if the folks on Alexander would like that. But I don't know if we can.
Mr. Simonson, I've interpreted our role in this particular application as just making sure that the development agreement is being met. Is that correct? Do we have authority outside of that?
No, not at this point. I mean, agreements can always be amended.
But not by us.
Not by you. And there's... I mean, the process for amending the development agreement is the same as the process was for getting the development agreement in the first place. And I don't think anybody's really very anxious to go do all of that.
Please no.
Again.
What does the language say?
So I'll just say this, that every drawing I've seen, I mean, I've been with the city now nearly 3 years, And the first week I was with the city, I got my first drawings on this overall Sagewood project, and it showed that right turn on 3200, and it's made it into the development agreement. And I think the message is getting through loud and clear that that's going to need to get done. The development agreement is recorded and is an encumbrance on the land. And so it's going to get done. I at this point, I wish it said June 30th, 2023, and everybody but you would be happy. But it doesn't say that, but I don't know what to do specifically about that at this point.
Okay, thank you. All right, so the applicants have touched on a couple of the next items I was going to go over. I'm still going to read what the development agreement says, just for the sake of our citizens who brought them up. And so the first was no parking. Item F2, no street parking shall be allowed, and the project shall enforce all parking regulations during events. And item 4, Sagewood shall install no parking signs adjacent to the project along the west side of Alexander Park Lane and on 3200 West. So it'll be along the property. I don't think it will extend further than that, or at least the requirement does not require that. And then with respect to the sound, that was also specifically cited. Item D1, all amplified live music shall be performed within the indoor barn facility only. Item 2, all recorded music shall only be played using the project sound system with controlled volume levels. 3, all music shall not be played after 10 p.m., and then a reference to the Salt Lake County Health Department's regulations. Also, item 5, that Sagewood shall work with a sound engineer to insulate the main building to reduce noise heard outside of the building, and demonstrate in the building permit application that the planned construction provides a sound transmission class and impact insulation class rating of not less than 60. We talked about the right-hand turn. And then Mr. Trainer was the sound. So I hope that clarified that concern as well. Commissioners, have I addressed all the things that came up during public comment? Do we have further questions for staff or the applicant? Go ahead.
So, Jeremy, you mentioned, or Demir, you mentioned about the bonding potential for the right-hand turn lane. Can you give me more details about that? How that typically works?
It would be a bond that the city would hold that would be equal to the value of the project, so that if the applicant was not able to complete the project, the city could then use that bond to construct it itself, and that way the city wouldn't be out any money in constructing that.
And that would guarantee that the development agreement would be able to be executed.
We've discussed, is there's not a specific timeline of when it would be constructed. If it became evident that they weren't able to execute it, maybe at that point the bond would be pulled, but that's a detail that would need to be refined.
What type of condition would you see happening at that traffic intersection that would warrant having that right turn lane?
If the level of services, if the delay increases, if the level of service diminishes, we're not expecting a severe impact from this development. And 3200 West is a busy road, but it's not as busy as many of our other collector roads.
Okay. Has there ever been a condition put on a bond that says if level of service gets to D, then a bond is required? Or
I think it would be difficult to put that condition on because it's influenced by so many other factors, that they don't have control over.
Yeah. It's just a really interesting situation in that the development agreement covers an area that is not adjacent to this planned improvement.
Yeah.
It's very awkward and interesting and perhaps somewhat risky from a city perspective. If something goes wrong, there's no guarantee. That's my concern is when all the rest of the development agreement is being essentially executed except this one piece, what's the piece that's going to guarantee that one will get executed? I personally like the bond concept to help guarantee that.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I'm not an attorney. I wonder what Greg would think, but you know the project itself is going to be bonded, right? We've got to build the entire thing out. And I think this is part of the project, you know, contractually it has to be done. So I wonder if it's already covered.
There should be a separate bond just for that, actually.
Jeremy, is that something that will be required already, or do we need to include that in something?
And our city attorney can chime in if I get this wrong, Greg. But it would not be as part of our engineering process. That turn lane, as it's currently, you know, this application is, it would not be included because there's no site plan or anything that shows that, you know, with the current plans. But that is something, you know, if the applicant was accepting of that, then that's definitely something we could look at.
I feel like you want to say something.
I have so much respect for Jeremy that I don't want to, and he's so knowledgeable, but I get these bond agreements coming across my desk all the time, and generally they're coming from Jeremy or somebody over in that department. And I'd have to go back and review, but I believe that I can make that happen. I don't know that doesn't help you at all, my saying that, but I think that all of these, once construction is begun on a development site, a bond is almost always required. And why this would be any exception, you know, again, deferring to Jeremy, he may be able to tell me why it would be an exception. But it is part of the development agreement. It's part of the project. The title to the property that would have to be acquired is within the family. And I don't know what else to say on it. I also just would say that if this doesn't happen, the city's got the ability to stop the project.
Is there effectively a lien, and I don't know my legal terms, on that property? So if anybody were to buy it in the future, it could be enforced, and regardless if it's bad for their driveway or their approach or whatever, should it now be in the hands of somebody else, the city can say there's effectively an easement, a lien.
On the corner?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think there is a lien on the corner, but there is a lien on the rest of the property, by reason of the fact that the development agreement is recorded on the rest of the property,
mm-hmm.
and that this is a requirement of the development agreement. And so if this is not happening, then the city has the ability to come in and enforce it in any number of ways.
I guess we've seen other projects that have granted access across properties. People have built and then refused to honor that agreement, and we've been unwilling to go in and enforce it. Maybe it's different because it's not a development agreement that the city entered into. I guess I've been disappointed by a couple of other pieces that we've seen come through.
Yeah, I think that contrary to what Commissioner Catmull just said, it happens more often than not that there is some kind of agreement with respect to property that is not necessarily immediately under the control of the developer. For instance, we just did the Rise development, and part of that development agreement was their obligation to develop off-site amenities, amenities that were not on pickleball courts specifically, mm-hmm. but that was not on the development property, but they're obligated to put in those amenities. So I don't think it's untypical to have this kind of situation.
Was a bond for that, correct?
I don't recall.
Okay.
There was a cash donation.
Okay. The other one that I'm thinking of, Stephen Schaefer-Meyer and I discussed early on when I started this position, and that was the high-density apartments off of 106th on the east side of the river bend. And he had indicated that that particular development got the density that they got because they were going to include some higher-end features like plants on the roof, and that there was some disappointment that it couldn't be realized, all of the additional amenities that they had agreed to in exchange for that density. And I guess I don't know what the resolution was there, but I just, things like this are concerning to me, I suppose.
I think I understand where you're coming from. We've had a lot of discussion about, you know, what would be good and what would be great, which is the reason why we've entered into a pretty exhaustive development agreement, so that it's in writing. We've signed it. We have obligations to do it. And one of those obligations that we have is to do the right turn. And as far as, you know, as far as that goes, I don't know. I mean, you could lean the corner, but I think you have sufficient recourse if we don't fulfill our obligations to enforce that with the development agreement that we have in writing.
Michelle, so the bond, we're going to pay for it before we start construction of everything. So we're going to be paying for it either way, right? And so your concern is more, I'm trying to find your concern. I think we agreed to do it within 5 years, I think our conversation was, and we're going to pay for it up front.
Okay, so you are confirming it will be a part of the entire project bond?
Yes, and we have 5 years. Honestly, one of the biggest, Megan's scared to death to tell her dad there's going to be right turn pocket there, because he's going to have to move that fence right up to where his window's going to look at like a fence 5 feet away from it, and they're not going to be able to drive out of their driveway safely. And so that's why the five-year deal, and that's why we're bonding for it up front.
Okay. I think I heard what I need to on that item then.
So is that bond that's going to be retained until it is built?
Correct.
That aspect enough, and I don't know how much it costs to add that, but I'm guessing tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands.
It's a lot.
Significant.
Significant amount. Somewhere in that range. Mm-hmm. So as long as the city has that.
And yeah, you guys are, I think you're safe because you have the money, but that's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me just be clear on this then. Notwithstanding anything else that is said, has been said tonight, you are agreeing to include in the overall improvement bond the right-hand turn on 3200 West.
Correct.
I believe we had talked about that.
Been our conversation.
With Brad Kavanaugh.
Brad, we met on the site. He's seen the situation. I drive the road all the time, and I don't think it's one of those areas that's a huge concern. I don't ever see it backed up to a point where it's a problem right now anyway. So.
Come up the right time of the day.
I do. Yeah. I come at the right time of the day.
And listen, like, again, the most impacted people of this project are Otto and Amy Jones right there on the corner. And putting the right turn pocket in, you know, immediately based on, you know, the input from the staff at the city was just not a even humane thing to do. It's just not decent. So we're going to do it. We'll bond for it up front. It's going to happen. I don't know the timeline on that. That's a hard question to ask.
So you cannot commit to the 5-year timeline?
Well, it has to. That's done, yes. But I can't tell you if it's 18 months or 22 months, 36 months, 42 months.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioners, do we have other questions for the applicants, or can we let them be seated?
No, not for the applicant.
Okay.
I think we're done. Thank you. A little bit of a concern with, I like the 5-year timeline. That makes me very happy to know what's going to happen within 5 years. But is that amendable if on the odd chance that Amy and Otto are still there 5 years from now? Because I would hate to have that forced on them on their property. Like, knowing them personally, I would not want to do that to them. Can that be amended if Amy and Otto Jones still own the property and still occupy that piece of property?
I think the city council could amend it.
I think we'd try to be reasonable. We would just need to make sure the bond security doesn't expire, and you know, there'd be some details we'd need to look at.
Okay.
But that's my opinion.
Okay. Obviously, I don't want to have any say we're changing this, but as long as it is changeable if Amy and Otto are still on the property, that's something the city can handle at a future date, and it is changeable.
Yeah, there's a section in the agreement that says that the city can make minor changes to the agreement without going to city council.
Okay. So. But as it stands, they've agreed to 5 years, and if they still occupy, then we can look at it at a later date. Okay. I'm okay with that. And
by we, it would be city council.
Not us, meaning the city, to be clear.
Would you mind if I ask the applicant one more question?
Certainly.
And you may have to come back.
Yeah, you'll have to.
Sorry about that. I'm getting this feeling in my attorney skeptical gut that you're delaying putting in the 3200 West until those good people on the corner die. I hate to just be that blunt about it, but you've expressed your concerns about them looking out the window and all those things, and they are the patriarchs of the family. And I want to be clear I want you to answer the question is if that's what you're trying to do.
No, it's a residence.
I know.
And so the agreement was that we had to put the right turn pocket in within a 5-year period. I can't infer the rationale for that. If my in-laws pass away, or if they move, or what happens, there's not a there's not a trigger within the agreement that says if my father-in-law passes away, then we're going to do it, if that's what you're asking.
I don't see a 5-year term in the development agreement, and you're here before us tonight on approving a plan, and I assume that means that you're going to be wanting to start construction quite soon. And I don't want to sit through another hearing where I've got people sitting there saying, when's 3200 West going to be up there? And we're hearing about, they're going to have to look out their window at this, and I'm sorry they got to look out their window at this, but this is what's been agreed to, and a lot of people are counting on it.
Yeah, right. I think we're in agreement on that. I'm not up here petitioning to modify the development agreement.
Okay, that's all I have.
I have a legal question for you. You made the comment that Megan's scared to death to tell her dad that in 5 years there's going to be a turn lane there. I assume he's the property owner. Has he been represented in this process? Have agreements been made in his behalf?
No.
That he is not privy to?
So is the question that he's not aware?
He's
aware of the right turn, and now somebody correct me here if I stray, but my understanding is the right turn agreement was done prior to our rezoning of the property. It was a condition on the previous development agreement, which has then been modified, which was an agreement with Otto and Amy Jones and their trust. So that agreement on the right turn had already been agreed to by him, which was going to be done, as Demir pointed out, in the second phase. Now that's been modified because of what we've done with this property. But to speed that up, we've agreed that we will put the right turn pocket in within the 5-year range, regardless of what happens to their property, because that's part of a second development.
So I think maybe from my perspective, I didn't see anywhere in the development agreement. That's partially what we're here is reviewing that and making sure the site plan matches that. So I don't remember seeing anything about a 5-year on that particular thing. But I do remember, if I recall correctly, this development agreement rescinded is the right word, but replaced.
Right.
It didn't amend, it replaced
the
previous one. So nothing that happened in the previous one is in effect here. And what I don't see on the on this site plan, which we're trying to review and match, is that right-hand turn lane.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that being said.
Yeah, I think, and I don't know the engineering or legal reason for that. Yeah. It's in the development agreement, but it's not in the site plan, and I'm not sure if that's because it's a timeline issue or the reason for that.
And it can be fine, like, because I also don't. I think as we've been talking about, there's a balance of replacing or putting something before you need it.
Yeah,
it can have a material impact, and so I think that's partially what we're trying to.
Yeah,
I think, and you're trying to do as well with a. At least in verbally committed to a 5-year timeline. I don't know that there's a commitment. And so that physical commitment or that legal commitment is that bond that the city could execute, you know, could say, this is part of the contract, we need it, let's build it, and here's how we're going to fund it.
Yeah, and that came from Brad. Jared in our discussions on what, and I don't know, you know, I heard Jeremy, you mentioned previously that the city monitors what's going on, if there's traffic incidences, and that can be sped up based on, you know, necessity of what's going on. I don't know. I just know that we've agreed to do it, and we would like to do it as soon as we can, but you know, there's a residence there, and if you see where their access is, it's a real challenge for that to be put in immediately.
Of course, my question for, I don't know, Greg or Jeremy, is something like that enforceable if they are not the property owner? Does that make sense?
Is it required eminent domain?
Where they're not the current property owner of that corner piece, is that enforceable?
Okay, so I think of the term enforceable in two ways. One is it enforceable to go out there and specifically order that go in on somebody else's property that's not a party to the development agreement? No, I don't think it is. On the other hand, is it enforceable in the sense that if it's not done and they're in breach of contract, they can no longer go forward with it, with their development? It's enforceable, in my opinion, in a very strong way under that discussion of enforcement.
Meaning in 5 years, when a reception center is built and operating, you can go in and shut down that operation?
I think there's a wide variety of things that can be done. I don't know where this 5 years is coming from, frankly.
It's just a verbal agreement we had with Brad Kavanaugh.
Yeah, so to me, the 5 years is not something that's real. What's real is in the development agreement.
Okay.
And so if they're ready to open the reception center, and that's not in, then I think the city's got to be looking at, hey, these guys appear to be in breach of contract, and we're going to have more discussions. And if that doesn't resolve the issue, then possibly there's enforcement actions taken. Now, I think and hope it will never come to that, especially if we have a bond. I'm paid to think in terms of worst case scenario. And I think from that sense, yeah, we got a great enforcement mechanism.
Just out of curiosity, if the right turn lane is a reality within 5 years, why wouldn't we want to expedite the timeline and have it done before you open business? Because it would just make your customers more, like, it's inefficient, it's uncomfortable, and it would detract from the great culture that you're trying to create with this redevelopment.
We actually don't feel like, and I think that Jeremy would agree that this isn't a very busy street.
Okay.
And I don't feel like even with our timing being in an evening thing, and I think Jeremy would agree.
We had paid for an additional study to be done on traffic there, which probably have a copy of, in addition to the city staff's opinion about the street and the flow and peak time and all of that. And so it was not something that was deemed as required at this point or even in the foreseeable future.
So you feel like, just to be black and white on this, and appreciate your patience, you've taken measures into your own hands, hired your own firm, they've conducted a study. You don't feel like the traffic problem, you don't feel like there will be a problem.
Correct.
The engineers here in the city don't feel like it's a problem as of right now. And so if two firms are confirming that it's not a problem, then it's probably not a problem right now. And so it feels like maybe what the city should do is monitor it over the first year that you're open, and you know, probably if you're opening in about 15 months from now, 12, you probably want to do an annual study to see what your first year of business looks like and how it's impacting traffic on that intersection. And then from there, you can make the determination if you need to move up the right-hand turn. So if it's in the redevelopment agreement, we should probably leave it in there and revisit this discussion after the city's been able to further assess the impact of traffic.
Yeah, I think that was the essence of the discussion about the timeline of it.
Okay.
Do we have additional questions for the applicants?
Who is this? I have a question. I'm not sure who gets it, so let me think about it. Probably Demir. You can route it wherever it needs to go. If this business was, we didn't build, the right-hand turn lane wasn't built, let's go off of Commissioner Stark's one-year mark. It doesn't, unfortunately, it doesn't succeed, and they want to sell the property, and they sell it to another person. Would that person have the obligation to build the right-hand turn lane because it's in the development agreement? And would that have to happen before they could purchase it or sell it?
Yeah.
I believe so. Usually as part of any project, we'll take a look at the traffic flows, and if there's a need for a right turn lane, and this is speaking with or without the agreement, in this case, yes, we could be able to make him do a right turn pocket.
On the new owner. Because that's the way I look at it. And for me, I just look at it as like, if it's required, when it's required, make sure we have the means to build it in the easiest way possible. That's why I gravitate to the bond concept. Oh. But no rush for me. Anyway, that's my only question. Thank you.
Anything else down here?
So can I interject one other thing? Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
The development agreement, of course, is divided up so it lists the city's obligations. Then it lists the developer's obligations, and those are divided in two sections. One is the subdivision, which the obligations are Bison's, and then there's the project, which is Sagewood's, okay? And the obligation to construct the right-hand turn on 3200 belongs to Sagewood. And what is Sagewood's project? It's the barn and the venue. So every development agreement that I've dealt with over the years, you can't build the development and then build the infrastructure later. You build the infrastructure with the development. And so that's, I think, how a court would interpret the timing of this, is that if you're going to develop the property, this is part of the development, and you do it along with the development. And that makes sense from the bond obligation, too, that infrastructure is going to be constructed at the same time as we're getting parking lots and other infrastructure installed there. So with all due respect to Commissioner Stark, I don't think that you probably wait and see how things are going. I think it's got to be constructed at the same time as the other infrastructure items are being constructed.
I think the point to that, though, is that we've had multiple experts on traffic state that the infrastructure is there for the project in abundance. So if there were staff suggestions saying this isn't sufficient infrastructure, the right turn pocket has to be constructed simultaneous with the project, and that's what would have been in the development agreement. But two specific groups of engineers reviewed the traffic and said it's not an issue.
What do you estimate or forecast your expenses to be if we were to simultaneously build the infrastructure right now? What would that do to you?
For the right turn.
Mm-hmm. What do we think it's going to cost us?
Yeah.
I'm anticipating like $100,000.
Okay. So as a small business owner, then what we're saying is it's always the right move to diagnose and then prescribe. And right now the process would be, we're going to have you prescribe, and then we hope to diagnose later. It's exactly the process that we'd be following by having you pay $100,000 for a problem that may never come. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is something that we've had a lot of discussion, thought, and input, and have, you know, paid for additional experts to review. And it was something that we talked exhaustively about. If the right turn pocket was needed at that time, then that would have been a requirement within the development agreement as we worked with the city staff. But if you review the findings of both the city staff and the independent study that we paid for, despite commentary, the 3200 can easily accommodate the current traffic and the projected traffic from the event center.
So I alluded to this before. The only authority that this commission has is to ensure that this development agreement's being followed. One of the comments that we received by email was that this commission forwarded a negative recommendation for the rezone. That is now off the table. We are now just trying to apply what City Council has agreed to with you. In response to what you just said, whether or not it's needed, the City Council has identified that this is something that has to be included. At some point, I would like clarification if possible as to when. I'm not seeing references to phases and what was included in our staff report. I'm also not seeing the reference to the 5 years. And so I think I'm leaning, based on my understanding of what was given to me, towards what Mr. Simonson pointed out, that this was a requirement in the infrastructure, along with parking, where you could access the property, et cetera, et cetera. Can
so, but
clarify it all on the phasing, on the timeline? Where would that information be? Perhaps I don't have everything I need to ensure that we're proceeding as City Council has agreed to.
Michelle,
can you please let City Council answer that? Yeah. The staff.
Personally, I was not part of those discussions. Those discussions were between the applicant and the city engineer as far as to timing. So I was not part of those discussions, but my understanding is that it's going to happen with the future phase. That's something that they agreed on, the city engineer and the applicant. Pertaining to that one section in the agreement, it said that the city staff can make minor changes to the agreement.
And is that considered a minor change to say, we'll let you do this in phases? Or I guess I'm trying to understand what information I should be using to make this decision.
Yeah.
I have what's in my staff report. I don't have any of this other information. I'm not sure how to proceed. And maybe this is a Mr. Simonson question.
Well, can I just add on to that by saying it doesn't feel like there's a sound process written out in the language that's existing?
Mm-hmm.
If the consensus with City Council is that this project needs to happen, that needs to be clearly identified as to when. And the city is almost creating confusion for itself by then having its staff go out and say that it's not a problem at this point. And so maybe there needs to be a timeline that states within the next 36 months there needs to be an independent study conducted to verify that this is a problem. And if so, then there are teeth to enforce the infrastructure project to happen. But until it's a problem, you know, that's where I'm hung up on as well.
Well, maybe as part of the, and maybe Greg can chime in on this, but maybe as part of the minor change to the agreement, maybe it's the timing you guys can require and that can be put in writing as far as when the right turn needs to go in.
Yeah. Can we have you sit down and we're going to ask a few more questions of staff? Will you say that one more time? I'm sorry.
So as part of making the minor change to the agreement, you can make a requirement that be put in writing as far as timing. If you want to have it done in 5 years, 2 years, 3 years, whatever timing you want it to be done, we can put that in writing as part of that minor change to the agreement. And I don't know if Greg maybe agrees or not agrees with that, but I think we can do that.
Would you agree that that would be a minor change?
Well, I see problems with that. I mean, where we're looking at is part G, page 5. The planning department, after conferring with the city manager, may approve minor modifications to the developer obligations in section E, which are necessary or advantageous in facilitating the function. Now, it specifically references section E, and if I go to section E, that's a provision on conflicting terms. So I think they probably meant to say section F, but to me, and again, I don't want to be telling you how to vote or anything, but and I have all the respect in the world for the applicant, for Mr. Visser and his wife, but Historically, I mean, he views it as if it would have been in the agreement if there was going to be a specific time by which that had to be done. I kind of see it the opposite way. I think it would have been in the agreement if it wasn't to be constructed as part of the improvements of the development as they're being constructed. So it's a conundrum, and I'm surprised, frankly, that that this issue has come up. To me, there's just not. This is the first thing, time I'm being hit with this 5 years, and we'll wait and see, and maybe I haven't attended the right meetings or whatever, but I'm concerned.
Greg, is it possible to create an addendum to the agreement rather than renegotiate the entire agreement itself, but to create an addendum citing a new process, a new outline, new timeline?
Well, you can make any changes you want, but you're still going to have to take those changes, even if it's just a little addendum or something, to the city council to get those approved.
Could we, before we vote on this item, request additional clarification from staff as to what these minor changes are, including detailing of what's considered approachable phasing or timelines? It sounds like it might be within the staff's discretion to make certain changes, but I think I would like to know what those changes are.
I think that I want to be very careful about not substituting my judgment for yours. But I think that you've got a real problem in front of you, and I think you guys are responsible, you guys are trained, and I'm going to be interested to see what happens in the next 10 minutes.
Thanks a lot.
can I ask a question then, Greg? I'll come back to you. I'm looking at the actual text on page 83 of our packet, under traffic and parking, where it talks about specifically the last sentence: the developers, meaning collectively Sagewood, shall dedicate the city right of way as is reasonably needed to accommodate the right turn pocket. Like, that's property they don't own, right? So how can they dedicate? At this point, it's not property that the developer owns and is not part of the project. Can they even fulfill that obligation?
Like I said, I think this kind of thing happens all the time, and I don't think they would have entered into the agreement if they didn't feel that they could fulfill the obligation.
I mean, can they even legally do that, or does it have to? It almost feels like it's worded to me as if they're planning on being the future owners of that property that is, you know, where Otto and is living. But I don't think right now they do own that. Can they dedicate that right of way to the city?
You cannot. If your question is, can you dedicate something you don't own?
Right.
Then the answer is no. Then you got to go out and acquire it. And they obviously feel that they can accomplish that, or else they wouldn't have entered into this obligation.
So they can't build it without acquiring it. And so to open up, you know, if we required that they had it before they opened up as part of developing the whole project, they'd have to acquire and potentially, well, at least acquire that land, I would think. But that's not zoned for. It's not even on the same zone, so I don't even think, can a project span zones? I don't think it can it?
I don't think it needs to span zones here. I think that they just need to fulfill an obligation to dedicate it to the city and construct the turn.
And they would not have to acquire the property to do it. They could get an agreement from the current owner. The owner can sign the the dedication. They don't. They. So that's the possibility there. So they would not have to develop that portion of the property. They just have to get the owner to sign off on that
dedication. So this would be one of those probably minor changes in my mind, is I don't think the developers can dedicate it that, but the developers could procure that dedication by going to the current owner type thing. But I think that's just probably a technical detail, I suppose.
I think we also need to remember that the original version of this developer agreement was with the trust that is that property. So the original agreement was with the property owners, and it has changed now that they've decided to do this. So this portion that we're looking at, that's the Sagewood Ranch, was phase two of the original development, which is where that timeline was coming in. Because if I remember right, in the original agreement, where this was phase two of residential, that's when the turn lane was supposed to go in. And that wasn't happening until phase two was done. But now that this has changed, this developer agreement now supersedes that. And I would assume that that agreement from that is basically where this is superseding that, that that's all in place because they had agreed to it originally. Right?
I think that's where the intention comes from, but I don't think the original agreement exists anymore because this has replaced it completely.
This has replaced it and supersedes it.
Yeah.
So the original agreement was with them, but this one is now with them.
Yeah.
If you'll see on page 3, at the top of the page, D, it says 2020 development agreement. This agreement replaces in its entirety the development agreement dated September 4th, 2020.
So I don't think we have any real question as to whether or not they can enforce that with the original agreement because this supersedes and replaces it.
Yeah, as far as the relationship between the city and Sagewood and Bison, this that you have in front of you is the agreement, and that's it.
So the problem and the conundrum we're facing is because there's no specific language based on when that needs to be completed. So I think that's negligent to the motion that we're going to make, but that maybe is something that we should discuss with City Council in a meeting, that we probably should get a little more clear language in the next set of agreements that we do with a similar project.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same issue they had with the roadblocks going in on the Rise development. There's no date on that as well, and that caused quite a commotion also. So I think we've probably learned a little from this.
Similar to like those expiration dates, I think in the last 2 years we had one come up that was a 10-year-old development agreement.
Yeah.
And that was not as fun.
Yeah, so I think lesson learned.
I think what we're agreeing to is exactly what's written here, not necessarily what they think is written in here. So the fact that they think there's a 5-year thing is sort of irrelevant. It's really their problem because what they've agreed to is contained in the development agreement. That's my belief.
I think what you've said is correct, and I think what you need to consider is whether the right-hand turn, I mean, what's before you is a site plan approval.
Yep.
And what you need to consider is whether this provision about 3200 West is required to be part of the site plan.
So I think I've mentioned this before, but since there's no timing in the agreement, the thinking was that since the corner property is going to become part of Sagewood, that the pocket is going to be required with that last phase of the Sagewood project. Again, there's no timing, there's no any reference to when it's going to be done. It just says it's going to be done with Sagewood. And this corner property is intended to be part of the Sagewood project.
So, to Demir, on that, though, that would have to be rezoned to be part of that, right?
It would be rezoned.
It'd have to be rezoned from residential. So yes, that would still require that, you know, it may come between a different city council and after this year's elections, there'll be at least one new member. And so we don't know how that outcome will be, whether they'll seek to amend it. Probably, you know, probably, but there's no guarantees there for execution.
Mr. Simonson, I'm reading the rest of that item D that you pointed out, and I'm a little concerned it actually has an exception for that corner property that we're talking about. I'm not sure if I'm understanding the language completely. So this agreement replaces in its entirety, except as it applies to the R2.5 zone. I think that's that parcel. It goes on to say, as and it's shown as an existing home and associated driveways and accessory buildings on the corner.
Good. That seems like a pretty good point you're making.
Madam Chair, which page are you on? You're on D?
Yeah.
Development agreement?
I think it was page 83 in the 81. Packet. 81 in the packet.
Yep.
Okay. D?
Can you go back to the zoning map?
So, yes, I think that's the 2.5. Mm-hmm. Commissioners, before we go further, let me express my thoughts. I will invite you to do the same. I'm afraid that I do not have enough information this evening to be willing to vote on this item. I think I need additional information about what has been agreed to verbally and what is binding. I understand the applicant's concern that this is expensive and that they are a small business, that it might not necessarily be immediately necessary based on the traffic study that they've done. However, the city council included this as a requirement, probably in response to citizens' concerns, and that was a concession that was made for putting something unique in a residential neighborhood. And so it is my intent to, as best as possible, make sure that these items that the city council included in this agreement are met. I just do not feel like I have enough information about how this particular item will be implemented and when it will be implemented. We could potentially go to city council and ask them to clarify if they intended phases and if they're okay with that. That obviously is time consuming. Amending this is a headache that I don't think anybody actually wants to do. So I would potentially be happy with city staff coming back and documenting for us when they think things will happen, when it will be required, what the timing of that would be. I also like, I think it was Commissioner Catmull, or actually it might have been Greg, that recommended that we get an agreement for the dedication from this other property owner, just so that we have that peace of mind that it's been agreed to, it's been set aside, it is understood. I absolutely think it should be bonded as a part of the project, regardless of when it's going to happen on the timing. But there's a lot of maybes, ifs, etc. So I think I need additional information before I'm willing to vote on this site plan. Let's start down here. Commissioner Bevins.
This is a lot to unpack. Before I go into my thoughts on where I'm at on this particular issue, I want to say you did a really good job. I really appreciate all the extra effort you put into the landscaping and making sure that it was exactly what was agreed upon. The landscaping is beautiful. I went through all of the hardscape, all of the details. I was in the architectural review meeting. I think you guys have done a really good job, and it's going to be beautiful. That being said, I kind of feel like we've had a lot of arbitrary information
put in front of us tonight that makes it difficult to make that decision. I agree that it's in the development agreement, with his interpretation that it's before the development is done, but I'm also very sensitive to people living there, and it's difficult to make it happen. So I think I agree we do need further clarification on a lot of different pieces of this before we are able to make a firm decision on whether or not this site plan that we're approving is in accordance with what's in the development agreement. So I am also in favor of requesting further information, perhaps tabling.
I'm in favor of approving the site plan, or the what's before us tonight. But let me tell you why, because I think that they've, from my reading of the development agreement, they've agreed to put in the 3,200 as part of this development. It doesn't say anything about timing in there. And so it could be that the applicants might misunderstand what the timing is. But as I read it, the timing is concurrent with the actual development. That's how I understand it, and that's why I would be inclined to vote to approve it. But I could be misunderstanding it, and there's been a lot of different pieces of information that have been thrown at us, so I'd be okay tabling it also.
I, too, want to thank you for going through the process. I know when we spend a couple of hours talking about what seems like a very fine point, it may feel tedious. We're just trying to do the right thing and trying to get the agreement. I believe that it's an overall benefit to the city, for sure, and I'm glad to see some of the adjacent property owners saying, oh, that's going to be really nice, from some of the concerns that we had heard previously. So I would, as has been talked about, it's a little too squishy for me in this area to feel like I can approve it today. And so I'm more inclined to table it to get that additional information, because the principle on my mind is that we pull up the site plan, there's the right turn lanes not on there. There's no dates on that site plan, but that site plan does not implement the requirements of the development agreement. And so I want and need to see that, because that's what we are approving today, is that site plan. And I would love to hear from the city whether, for example, the timing of that is considered to be like a minor change from what the city manager and the planning director, I think, have to negotiate and like get their perspective on if that is that something they feel like they can do. But yeah, that's where I'm at.
Just echo the sentiment of my colleagues here. I think it's always important that we're data-driven, always. And it feels like the data right now is telling us that that this is not, in fact, a problem right now. And we have that from our city and from an independent firm. And so I can't, in good conscience, I can't advocate for a right turn lane now or in the future when I don't know that the problem actually does exist. And so I would like to understand a little bit more as well how the city council is seeing this. You know, I'd like to understand why they're advocating for that, why they feel like that needs to happen, because if it needs to happen, then it needs to happen. But it needs to happen, right, before we can make a consideration and a decision on that. And so, I would vote to approve it as it is now, but would, as it stands now for those reasons, but feel like we do need more information as well from the city council. So if we defer back to them for more information, I'm okay with that.
So would we defer to city council, or are we asking for clarification from staff?
Clarification from staff and from city council, because it feels like, I may be wrong, Greg and Jeremy, but it feels like we might want to understand why they put that in the first place. Because this originated from City Council, right?
I think Laurel and I were in that meeting, and it was a concession to residents who were concerned.
Yeah. Okay.
And we could review the minutes, certainly, from that meeting as well to make sure my memory serves me correctly.
Right. So I, going back to why I feel like it's important to be data-driven, you know, we may not like the way things look, but at the end of the day, that's just a subjective opinion. If we feel like this is a problem, then we should outsource it to the experts to run an analysis, and it feels like it's been done with two different firms, and they both have concluded that it's not a problem at this point.
Have we been provided those studies in our staff packets in the past? I'm not recalling. And so maybe that's one, the first thing we need pulled and provided is the results of those studies.
Yeah.
But I think that, sorry to interject, I just think that that's City Council's prerogative to base their decision. And my feeling is maybe they weren't clear enough on this portion of the agreement. Or we don't have the clarity that we're seeking on that portion as far as the timing of the 3,200. Whether they based it on data or whether they based it on public comment, we just need to understand what they want us to do timing-wise.
How do you feel about starting with a request from staff about what the phasing looks like?
I like that idea.
Can we be presented with what's considered phase one, phase two, so that we can see the full phase one site plan and phase two? I think, like Commissioner Cantwell said, we need to see that final requirement, where it falls, what the property looks like, so we have a site plan in completion to reference.
Yes, we can talk to the city engineer and get some additional information for you.
I feel like the why from City Council is kind of a moot point at this juncture. It's what we've agreed to.
Yeah.
As the city with the developer. And so I'm not seeking clarification on why. I just want the timeline and more of the actual information on when these pieces are going to be required. And
the full site plan.
The full site plan, because as of right now, like Commissioner Campbell said, it's not on the site plan. So it's really difficult for us to make a decision on whether or not this is complying with the development agreement when portions of it are missing.
Staff, is it clear what we're asking for? I know that's sometimes a complaint staff has, is that we're not clear.
Are you asking for construction drawings on the right turn pocket? No.
We're asking for a site plan like what we've seen today that also applies to that final piece. And if you label it phase two, so be it, if that's the understanding. But just so that we know exactly when, what is happening, and that we see and can check off that every requirement is covered. And so I think we believe all requirements are covered except for this right turn lane now at this point. Okay.
Commissioner Hollis, so the big question is when, right? Whether it's clarified through phasing or it's when is that pocket going to be, what's the trigger for when it'll be
both. I think constructed. I need to see it on a picture so we can reference when we pass something according to this.
Oh, I see. So you want it on a drawing shown as a future phase, just to
if that's
make
what it
is. Abundantly obvious that what the commitment is.
Well, we're approving the site plan. I don't know. Does the site plan have to be fully built as in some time frame? Is there like a 1 year or a 2 year trigger from when that happens?
I think that's why they divide into phases sometimes.
That's a good question.
The site plan review, you have to start construction within 1 year or it expires. Or there's also a chance that if you're approaching the 1 year date, you can file for a time extension for an additional year. But that's only one time extension. So basically, if you don't start construction within 2 years, then it would expire. However, if you start construction, I believe there's probably, you need to continue, it's got to continue. If it lays dormant for another year, 1 year period at some point, then it can be declared, I guess, expired as well, and you have to come back. But usually when people start something, they will finish it because they've already put a lot of money into it for starting, so that's kind of unclear how that would work, but like I said, it could be up to 2 years after you approve it that before they start.
Can I just clarify something? There was an original agreement that's now superseded by the current agreement as of September 2020. And as those negotiations were taking place, one of the concessions the landowner made was that a right turn line would be put in tandem with the development of this project. Is that correct understanding? Like, if I were to summarize it, that would be...
Yeah.
Got it. And so I say that because if that's what we're agreeing to and the concession was agreed to, then yes, I can get behind and feel like we do need to understand timing and a phased approach, what that means, right? Because they've agreed to that.
I think that's the essence of what you're doing here, is trying to find out what the timing is on that 3200 West. And seems to me like it's a two-part analysis. First, I mean, Commissioner Hollis asked if it's a staff decision or it's a city council, and that's the first thing that needs to be decided. If it's decided that it's minor and it falls within the prerogative of a minor change and the city manager with the director of the planning department, then they can make whatever changes is necessary, probably in discussions with the developer or whatever their process is. If it's decided that's more than a minor change, then it would need to go over to the city council.
We're just trying to get Mr. Lewis to one of our meetings so that we feel important. All right.
I'll shut up. I've spoken too much.
All right. Commissioners, I am comfortable, or I'm going to propose that we table this and ask for that clarification from staff first to request that it be reviewed, decided if what is being proposed is minor, and then a full site plan be presented to us that, if it's phased, includes those phases, but ultimately shows and allows us to vote on being able to see that right-hand turn on a site plan. If that's unable to resolve our concerns, then we'll have to escalate it to city council, which I'm sure they'll love. But let's start with staff level and see if it can be resolved. That is what I propose. I'm happy to hear differing opinions, though.
I think that's sound judgment. I agree with that.
Okay. I guess I should probably make the motion. This might take several minutes to load. Do you have the... Thank you.
I believe that's it. I'm giving you the right one. No, H5.
And the leaving string.
There you go.
Thank you, sir. Okay, I move that the Planning Commission table application PLSPR 2023-0005 to allow for construction and operation of an event center in order to allow staff to modify the site plan presented to incorporate the right pocket turn on 3200 West and clarify agreements for phasing and timing. All right, we have a motion. Do we have discussion on that motion?
One question, is it staff that does the site plan or is that the applicant?
Oh, staff, can you answer that question?
It would be their engineer.
Okay. I will modify my motion to have staff request an updated site plan from the applicant, but to again resolve the issue of determining if this is a minor change to the development agreement to allow phasing and timing that's not concurrent with the development of the reception center. Okay, we have a motion.
I'll second.
All right, Ms. Valdez, could we get a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Hollist?
Yes.
Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
Commissioner Starks?
Yes.
Commissioner Catmull?
Yes.
And Commissioner Darby?
Okay, so we have agreed 5-0 to table this item waiting for that information that we have requested. If possible, we can hear it at the next meeting, but we'll leave it to both the applicant and the staff's timing to determine when that comes back.
Chair, can we just address whether it will be renoticed for the public?
Oh, Greg, public comment has happened on this item. Will there be a renotice when this comes back to us?
No, there will not. It's not a public hearing any longer. Okay. So
thank you for that clarification. Yeah. Hearing has been heard on this item. There will not be another public hearing when we rehear this. I assume the applicant will know.
The applicant will know, obviously, because they have to get information from them. But okay. The public can always check the website every other Thursday. It's posted on at this so they can if there's going to be a meeting or not. The packet is posted on there. They get all the information.
The commission meets the second and fourth Tuesdays of every month.
Right.
Okay.
One further comment? Okay. I know that was probably not what everybody wanted tonight, and I want everybody to know this is not something we do regularly. It's not an easy decision for any of us to table something. It's very rare that we do it, and it's definitely just because we really feel like we don't have what we need to make the best decision for the city. So we appreciate all of your time and the effort and the time out of your day it took to be here and all of your efforts it took to get to this point, but we really would appreciate your patience as we work through this process.
Thank you, Ms. Bevins. All right, that concludes both our administrative and legislative business this evening. Staff, do you have any other business for us tonight?
No, just waiting for your usual question.
I think you already know my question. Why don't you answer it?
Currently, there's nothing scheduled on the tickler for another meeting. It may be canceled. We discussed this at our staff meeting this morning that I am sort of waiting for. There's some information from Daybreak because I do have one that could come on if it's approved by the engineering department and so forth to go forward. And so I will know by the end of tomorrow whether I have to send out notices for the public hearing on that meeting. So I can possibly, if there's going to be a meeting, I can just let you all know that. Look forward to one, and I'll send an email out for that.
Although with what we've just tabled, could potentially that change?
Yeah, that would probably, that could come back by itself too. So
okay,
if it's ready.
All right. Okay, commissioners, anything? Who do we have signed up for city council next week?
I'm going. We'll do it.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Do you want to share your news? I assume it's public record.
It is public record. I think most people know, but I have filed to run for city council in District 2. So.
Oh, congratulations.
There it is.
Can be your boss.
No.
All right. All right. As always, thank you to those that came and participated this evening in this process. We value the information and the insights that you bring to us. It helps us, even if it takes longer, hopefully make decisions that benefit our city. Staff, I also want to thank you for your time and efforts. I know that we ask a lot of questions and often have you on your toes, so I appreciate the time and effort that goes into that. With that, I will move that we adjourn.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Yes.
All right.